This is YouthCast. I'm Emily Corwin. Kamna Shastri, singing and playing piano. She's been studying piano since she was 4 years old, and Indian classical music since she was 9. You can hear both of those influences in this song, which she wrote and recorded. Kamna is also a radio producer. On this episode of YouthCast, we're going to look at two pieces she produced with KUOW's Radioactive program in Seattle, Washington. Both of these pieces are radio stories about music. In one, Kamna introduces us to her friend's a cappella group at the University of Washington. Their songs blend Indian and Western music traditions. As you know, this is a mixing of music styles Kamna was already really familiar with.
What caught me about it was the way they meshed two different languages together actually made it sound really cool. And for me, because I also have that Indian background and I'm living here too, I guess I felt a really personal connection to that. And I really love music, so I felt like it was a great way of putting two cultural experiences together into one.
Next, we'll hear a clip from Kamna's piece called One Melody Anew.
Before coming to college, my Indian life and my American life, I guess that's the best way to describe it, they both used to be kind of separate, because while I was at school, I guess I was totally American because I hung out with, like, a diverse community of people. And while I was at home or outside of school, I mostly hung out with only the Indian community. So, I mean, I'd see the two personalities, like, they'd be completely different.
Sarvani Gorthy saw her own personality go back and forth when she interacted with two different cultures. With her Indian friends, conversations revolved around Indian music and movies. Those were things she couldn't quite discuss with her friends at school. Her experience was like a pendulum, until she went to college.
That's a clip from Kamna's piece called One Melody Anew. You can hear more of that story on our website, youthcast.org. Kamna recently produced another piece having to do with music, about a guy who buys and repairs old pianos for a living. I asked her what it's like to tell radio stories about something as abstract as music.
I think it is a challenge, especially in comparison to if you're making a story, specifically a human interest story or something about a person or an issue. Music is something, certain aspects that you can't explain about it, because they're so emotional and intuitive that when my editors ask me, they're like, well, what does he mean when he says this about, you know, music or about the piano? And I'm like, well, I can't explain it. It's so personal. Like, It's a feeling that you can't explain in words, so I think that's a huge challenge in radio, because you're using words to get the message across. So when you can't explain it in words, how do you get that message across?
One of the differences between the first piece about Indian music and this one is that Kamna hardly knew the person she was interviewing.
We have a piano at home, but my teacher's been telling me for years to get like a nice like baby grand or a grand, and my parents noticed I was playing a lot more these past couple months. So during Christmas, they were kind of like, maybe we should get you a piano. And I guess they found this guy who's very, really eco-friendly and also salvages old pianos. And I guess, you know, when I looked at his website, because they told me about how it was kind of interesting. So when I looked at it, I was like, this would be a really interesting person to interview.
Kamna told me that in the beginning, it's easier for her to interview someone she knows, like her friend in the a cappella group, because she's not as shy. But she said something really special happens when she's interviewing a stranger, if she lets herself open up.
For me, something happens in my mind where, like, I have no sense of myself in that, like, any sort of judgment and any sort of, me sticking to my opinions or whatever, which I tend to be a little opinionated, all of that just drops while I'm doing the interview and putting the story together. And by doing that, I feel like their story, in a way, becomes almost my story, if that makes sense.
Stay tuned for Kamna Shastri's piece, Broken Notes. This is Youthcast from Generation PRX. Stay in touch on Twitter, Facebook, and generationprx.org.
We stand at the entrance to the metal shed that Dean Petrick uses to store his pianos.
So here are all the pianos. Not all of them, but...
No, this is just 53 of them. I have more.
I can't even fit inside. The shoulder of a piano faces me. I have to reach over the thick wood to touch the keys.
Oh, this one barely
this
works.
This one over here.
The pianos are here because they need fixing. Petrick is a piano technician. He hauls away his clients' pianos when they stop working. Usually, that means one key doesn't sound.
It costs a fortune to build a piano. And then what happens over time is the pianos are like cars, you know, and the parts start wearing out. People think, well, this is going to cost more to fix than I'd get if I sold it. So they just want to get rid of them.
Fixing pianos is like a call of duty for Petrick. He could send them to the dump. Instead, he takes them in for repair and redistribution. Petrick understands pianos so well he can tune them by ear. By fixing the pianos, Petrick keeps alive the tradition of piano tuning.
I'm one of the piano tuners of the world, and when there's fewer and fewer of us, too, by the way. In fact, the whole piano industry is dying and fading away because people are just buying electronic instruments, and you just push a button and it plays for you. You don't have to do anything. So, yeah, I'm just drawn to pianos. I have to fix them.
The problem now is that Petrick's running out of space, and as a result, the pianos are kept in tents where they're exposed to the elements. They rust in the damp and cold, and some come unglued. When the pianos get beyond repair, Petrick has to dismantle them. Some of the artistic wood pieces he saves to give to artists, or to recycle for such things as shelves. The metal pieces are kept for replacement parts. The rest scatter the ground behind Petrick's house. Smooth mahogany wood lies in a pile beside deep earthen brown. Scraps of metal poke from between the wooden remnants. They're the skeletons of piano's past.
Oh, it's a beautiful color. I mean, all the work that goes into making a piano, and then it ends up in my wood stove.
So you just use all this for firewood?
It's firewood now, yeah.
Does it ever kind of seem sad that they're...
Oh, it's very sad for me to tear apart pianos. I try and keep them as long as I can.
Petrick has 187 pianos. 100 of them are available for adoption free of cost. 20 have been fixed and are for sale. He hopes to rent out others. But 40 have been pulled apart, and they've since been cremated. It's bittersweet. Sweet in that these pianos are given the chance to live again. Bitter in that sometimes all Petrick can do is burn them with dignity.
I was hoping that I could get you to play on the piano.
Me?
Yes.
I haven't played this piano for a while.
For Radioactive, I'm Kamna Shastri.
That was Kamna Shastri, an intern with Radioactive at KUOW. If you like Youthcast, you'll love How Sound, the podcast backstory to great storytelling. Listen and subscribe to How Sound at prx.org. And find us, Generation PRX, on Twitter and Facebook. Thanks for listening.